The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio, Bob engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, the first Monday of June, June 3rd, 2019. You're listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And of course, there's 24/7 listening at kvoi.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation, the live line number 790-2040, it would be a good time to join in the conversation, because we begin Mondays on Buckmaster, as we have since we launched the program in January of 2011, with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring a different team of commentators each week. Today, Bob Westerman joins us again. It's good to see Bob. Bob's the former chair of the Pima County Republican Party. He was the chair 2009, right, Bob?
For the 2009 city elections,
yeah. There you go. It's good to see you again, my friend. Aaron Rottenstein is here. Aaron is former treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing really good, thanks.
It's good to see you again as well. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his fine team specialize in custom frame mirrors. We've got a couple of them at the Buckmaster household. He does such a great job with all of the custom frame mirrors. He's got great art there, because not only are they doing great picture framing, but they are an art gallery as well. And here's the good news. If you don't want to worry about hanging all of these fine pictures and frames in your home, let Mo come out and take care of it, and he'll get it exactly the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And of course, they are on Facebook as well. Bob and Aaron, we have now the signatures have been turned in for the upcoming city election in the mayoral race. Bob Westerman, no Republicans will be on the ballot. No, not enough signatures turned in. That wasn't the case, was it, Bob, when you were the chair in 2009?
Well, as far as mayor, Bob Walkup was mayor back then,
right.
So that was an issue. But we had three candidates. We had one for each of the wards running during that year.
What happened, though, that when we have, and of course you can't read the mind of the current chair, David Eppenheimer, who said that really Republicans are in effect done when it comes to city elections here?
Well, it's certainly become extremely difficult. I mean, we're outnumbered 2-1 in the as far as registration is concerned. But I think the tough part, Bill, is trying to get the right kind of person to run when they're faced against those odds. And so it's a big investment in time, and it's also leaves you open to political assassination, all kind of issues. So you have to really want to go there and do it. You know, I have a feeling that if you do it right, if you can get out the Republican vote in Pima County, if you can do a better job getting out the vote than the Democrats, I still think you stand a good chance of actually winning an election. But you got to have the right guy, and you got to get out there.
Aaron, what are some of your thoughts?
To be honest, I'm disappointed with it. As you said, Walkup was mayor 10 years ago. I think a lot of this is a credit to Jonathan Rothschild and the job he did. There are a lot of folks in town that have seen the way Tucson's grown with an all-Democratic council and a Democratic mayor. And, the registration numbers show people are pretty satisfied with it. Our community seems to always be at a crossroads, and I think this is no different time. I would like to think that both parties, Democrats and Republicans, feel like they should have a say in that.
Does Ed Ackerley, running as an independent gentleman, does he have a shot at this, depending on which of the three Democrats emerges from the primary?
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that it necessarily depends on which of the candidates wins the primary, in so much as I think it's going to take a lot of resources for an independent to mount a credible campaign. Two of the three of our candidates are really battle tested in terms of running elections that take place over a good part of the city. The third candidate has a lot of deep ties to the community and development. We'll see, but I think that, history shows it's really difficult to make a real strong independent push for a big election like this.
It's interesting. He did a real good job of getting his signatures in, and which means he's out there, doing the grassroots thing. And, his background is advertising. He's really into that. And he's got a lot of skills and a lot of resources that he can employ in running for office. But, I agree with Aaron that independents have a hard time when it comes to getting the vote, as people usually mark their D's, mark their R's, and the independents kind of hang out there. But, it'd be interesting to see what he does. I'm hoping he goes out there and at least challenges the three Democrats in debate, so we can tell what the difference is between the three and maybe hear exactly who the best candidate might be.
Yeah, I'm curious why the debates so far have not included. I don't think we've had a debate with the three Democrats and Ackerley.
Right now, the Democrats are fighting to get on the same ballot that he's going to be on. He's going to be a general election opponent. I don't know that it would, really behoove Democratic primary voters, who are the ones that need to make a decision right now, to be having a discussion other than amongst ourselves as to who we think is going to best represent our values on the general election ballot.
You got two possible charter. We have two amendments that seek to amend the two initiatives. Excuse me, that seek to amend the Tucson City Charter, and we'll find out whether one or both or neither of them make the ballot on July the 5th. One initiative seeks to make Tucson the state's first, quote, sanctuary city, while the other proposes some significant changes to the way city council people are elected. Bob, any thoughts on those two?
Well, the ward-only election initiative has been out there how many times? I think if we can get the signatures we need, and that's the difficult thing right now before July 5th to get that in there, there's a lot of people out there, including Democrats, that would agree with the fact that we should have ward-only elections and so our wards are correctly represented in the city. Right now, doesn't matter. You can be in a ward, win that ward, and the city, if you're Republican, I'll vote you, and you won't get in there. That's something that needs to change. I think we try to key this up about every 2 years.
Right.
I'm hoping this might make a change this year.
Sanctuary cities?
That's an interesting initiative. I hope you read that. There's two sections to it. The first section is kind of like, this is what we're trying to do. It even invokes something from the Declaration of Independence saying, that all men are created equal and have inalienable rights. And it added at the end of that particular quote the word sanctuary, which is interesting. Actually, I thought the Democrats missed an opportunity to add things like free health care and free, education and colleges. But the other half is what's more important, which is about 18 new codes, city codes, that limit the ability of the police officers and city officials to do anything at all when it comes to the immigrants in the city. And it establishes sanctuary, which in like four locations. So even if you want to arrest this guy, if he's located in a school, in a church, in a city hall, you can't go in and get them. And it also adds a nice little code in there. It says that City Tucson the citizens can sue the city if any of this initiative is
approved.
Right.
What do you think, Aaron? Starting with the sanctuary cities, it's interesting. The three mayoral candidates have, I believe, all said they are not for it.
You're right. All three have said that they don't support this, proposal in its current form. I think more important than what's actually, in the proposition is the idea that there's a lot of problems that need addressing. And Washington's failing Southern Arizona on it. The Trump administration, Martha McSally, even at the state level, Doug Ducey is failing Southern Arizona. When you look at what's going on with the monastery, You know, there's crimes up and down the board here in Tucson in terms of what's happening with refugees and, you know, our neighbors that aren't documented. We need to, you know, come up with some community fixes because, quite frankly, nobody else is. You know, a couple points on what Bob said. I personally think it's a really good thing that for nonviolent criminals or suspected criminals, we don't let law enforcement go into places of worship to, you know, arrest them. And, you know, I hope whether, you know, things like the sanctuary proposition or other proposals come to the table, we can maintain, you know, sanctity of religious houses of worship.
It? Are you backing it, Aaron?
I'm not a city voter. Okay. I actually live outside the city.
Okay.
I haven't read
You're off the hook.
Then. Yeah.
So you're okay with the fact it says that they can't go into city buildings to arrest them?
I think that's really, you know, one of the things that city buildings do is, you know, hold court proceedings. And I think that we need to make sure that, you know, people that are, you know, trying to get protection from things like domestic abuse, trafficking, are able to, you know, make their claims and, you know, access, you know, courts and justice that they absolutely deserve without fear of retaliation from, you know, the government or law. Yeah.
Well, it didn't specify court. It said any city building. So they could be down in City Hall and be considered that sanctuary.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine having somebody who committed a violent crime standing in City Hall saying, you can't arrest me. That's ridiculous.
As far as the city charter changes, that one, from what I'm hearing, might have a little more difficulty than the sanctuary and sanctuary initiative in getting on the ballot. And I think the requirement is about 9,200 signatures.
Yeah, yeah, and then the one that I hadn't gotten to touch on yet was the, you know, ward-only elections.
Right.
Bob's right. This comes up every couple of years. Mm-hmm. Frankly, I think there was a stronger case for it when Republicans were interested in, you know, contesting elections citywide. But, mm-hmm. You know, until they're, you know, putting up candidates, I'm not really sure why they should be, you know, having a say in exactly how these things go. And so it's, you know, a case of I wish we had more contribution from the Republican Party in terms of how the city's going to run. And yeah.
All if right. you had ward-only elections, I think you'd see some good candidates come out of Ward 4 and 6, mm-hmm. Without a doubt. And I think they would do very well, and I think they'd get elected.
Yeah, right. Well, we've got great candidates in both of those wards, and yeah.
That's Bob Westerman and Aaron Rottenstein, our commentators today on the Buckmaster Show Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Check out Moe's, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook for all of your framing needs. Also, we want to thank one of our great sponsors, my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. Aaron, have you been up there yet?
Yeah, it's great.
It's fairly close to your office, right?
It's not too far. Yeah, just down the street.
Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Bob, that's kind of out of your neighborhood.
Yeah.
But if you're in that area, I would highly recommend you go by because I know you do like pastries.
Yeah, I haven't since I've come off my diet. Yes,
yeah,
it's, I mean,
you're looking great. I haven't seen you in a while, so you've lost some weight, so you can afford to go buy Mona's.
Go eat some carbs.
Yeah, there you go. Mona's Danish Bakery serving breakfast now. They've put in the full grill. They're open at 6:30 in the morning for a hot breakfast. They're open right now, not only for breakfast, but for lunch. And if you want a sandwich, my goodness, that great bread that they serve up there came out of the oven probably just only a couple of hours ago. Mona's Danish Bakery.com. There's a link at buckmastershow.com. We'll be right back with the Monday Political Face-Off, 790-2040. If you would like to add to the conversation, Bob Westerman and Aaron Rottenstein, stick around for another segment. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It is our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Bob Westerman is here. Bob is a former chair of the Pima County Republican Party, and Aaron Rottenstein, former treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. Aaron, I want to begin now, switch topics from local to national and international, and that would be the tariffs that the president is threatening to put on Mexico. And that almost becomes like a local story, doesn't it?
You know, it's kind of all three levels. I think it's an international story. I think it's a national economic story. And obviously, it's going to have a really big impact here in Arizona, and in particular in southern Arizona. If this goes into effect, it'll be the largest tax increase in 30 years. And let's be really, really clear. When you assess tariffs, that's assessing a tax on the Americans who are receiving imported goods. Here in the state of Arizona, $9 billion of imported goods a year coming in from Mexico. That's a $450 million tax increase on day one, just here in Arizona. None of that takes into account any potential retaliatory tariffs. Here in Arizona, we export $7.5 billion a year to Mexico. And if they shut that off, it's going to be catastrophic for our economy, for the U.S. economy, and for America's place in the global economy.
Bob, this seems to be an area when the stock market being affected with all the talk about China and now with Mexico, stock market has taken a big hit. Isn't Trump taking a chance by now with the Mexico threatening those tariffs? And if the market tanks out, I mean, that was one of the areas, and I think it's one of the areas that the Trump folks are hoping will carry them, the good economic news.
Yeah, it's, you know, we have, not too long ago, we went through the same discussion with China when we talked about the tariffs with China. And the 5% tariff that President Trump is talking about with Mexico, which he hasn't done yet, he's talking, could go up to 25%. So far, the Mexican government has already decided to come talk to us and say that we're actually doing things, and we can do more. And, well, if they could do more, why didn't they do it before you even talked about the 5%? Which makes you wonder that the 5% tariff, you know, absolutely is a tool to kind of get them to come up to the table and start doing more about the immigration issue in Mexico that impacts us so severely on our southern border. And so Trump is a businessman. He uses things to get people to come to the table. He's done that with North Korea. He's doing that with Mexico on the tariffs. Interesting enough, by the way, is, you know, the big hit there is automotive. Uh-huh. That's very big. NAFTA is in place now. What's going to come in up for approval is the U.S. MCA. That agreement surprisingly takes away all tariff from automotive and the parts. So if that became law, then everything, at least on the automotive side of it, between Mexico and the United States would be a moot case. There would not be any taxes on the new cars or anything like that if that gets put into place.
Yeah, but I wonder if NAFTA 2.0 is even now going to move forward after this threat.
This is another thing. If they come to the table, then the 5% thing is another tool to get people to say, let's take another look at what you call NAFTA 2.0, which is the USMCA. Uh-huh. And because if they do that, then this becomes, it changes the whole playing field as far as tariffs when it comes to automobile and automobile parts, which is, of course, the biggest piece of the imports from Mexico.
Yeah, CNBC this morning was saying the average car is going to cost $1,500 more. When this comes into place, trucks could cost upwards of $10,000 more. These aren't tools of negotiation. You know, Southern Arizona's jobs, the ability for, you know, families here, 75% of our produce comes from Mexico here in the United States. Billions of dollars a year. Groceries are going to be more expensive. These aren't negotiation tools. These aren't negotiation tactics. These are, you know, pocketbook issues for Southern Arizona families. And to answer your original question, I think this is going to have a profound impact on Trump in the 2020 election. When you look at the states that are most reliant on trade with Mexico, Arizona is actually number three. Mm-hmm. Michigan's number two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're taking, you know, $17, $18 billion to trade and slapping a 5% tax on it in Michigan, it's going to be really hard to win re-election when that state was critical to you getting there in the first place.
Well, first of all, none of the tariffs have been put in place yet, as you know. And the first tariff is going to be 5%. And most of that, and people would agree that the 5% is going to be absorbed mostly by retailers and manufacturers. It's not going to be until you increases it past the 5%. We're treating it like the 25% is a done deal. It's nowhere near that, and they're already coming to the table. So the question is, you know, what can he get? What can he negotiate? What can we do to get Mexico to come to the table, do something about the immigration issue on our southern border? And I think he's already starting to see movement in that area. Again, yeah, it is a strategy. It does put into play a lot of serious implications, but you got to do something to make a change. You got to get their attention.
This has nothing to do with immigration. We've been seeing for 5 or 10 years now, the number of undocumented immigrants from Mexico is actually declining in the United States. This is everything to do with a president who has no idea how to get anything he wants through Congress, has no idea how to get anything he wants from foreign leaders, and is, you know, acting out in ways that get him in the newspaper, get him on Fox News, because that's what matters to him. And it's going to cost Arizonans jobs. It's going to cost Americans jobs. It's going to cost our economy growth.
You know, the number of people they've captured at the border has doubled since last year. There's the crisis at the border is real. There's you say people coming to Mexico is not maybe is reducing, but they're from Honduras and from South America is increasing, and there's nothing being done to kind of discourage their movement to North America.
Right. And nothing should be done. These are migrants that are claiming asylum, and you know, it's central to our immigration system.
All right,
and central to our place in the world that we, you know, let them make their case.
It's our Monday political face-off, and Paul would like to join the conversation, and he's concerned of the cost of the southern border drug war. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, thank you. Yes, sir. There will be a little bit of increase in cost of vegetables coming over. But I can tell you, over the past few years, I've had to let many employees around the country of ours go because of their addiction to heroin. And some of the DEA people that I've talked to say that there is something in the multi-billion dollars of drugs coming across the border how does that affect our economy, and doesn't that money go back to Mexico?
Okay, thank you, Paul. Gentlemen?
Yeah, I can't tell you where money is going from heroin. What I can tell you is a lot of the opioid problems here in America have to do with drug companies that for too long have been pushing things that people didn't need for problems that could be solved other ways. We're starting to see politicians both here and nationally making some progress on that. But I think we need to look at a lot of different places to, you know, pin the blame on something like heroin and opioid addiction.
Well, you know, the blame belongs on the cartels and the people who manufacture this south of the border, and they use people to bring it across the border, mules to bring it across the border. You know, these are the people you need to blame. You know, you can talk about the fact that the cost of pharmaceuticals are high in the U.S. and maybe there's some issues with that, but you know, the blame is squarely south of the border and what's going on down there, and the fact that they can get across the border and get these drugs to us so easily.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Bob Westerman, good to see you again, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I love your new studio.
Thank you very much. Bob's first appearance in the new studio, Bob Westerman, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, Republican Party.
Aaron, we'd love to have you.
Yeah. A fine spokesman like Bob would be great over on the Democratic side. So says Aaron Rottenstein, right, Aaron?
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Bill. I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad you're back in town. We've missed you the last couple of weeks.
Thank you very much. Aaron Rottenstein, former treasurer, Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by my favorite gallery in town, and they do just, oh my goodness, such a great job on all my framing needs. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back with retired United States Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. Always has lots to say right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Buckmaster airing Monday through Friday during the noon hour. This portion of the program presented by a lovely part of the southwestern United States, and specifically the southwestern portion of the Land of Enchantment, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. And coming up, got some great activities this summer. Are you into rodeo? They've got the Wild Wild West Pro Rodeo. This is the one of the annual stops on the Pro Rodeo Circuit, June 12th through the 15th. So that gives you a little added incentive to get over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Good starting place, southwestnewmexico.org. That's their great website. Complete listing of the many great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. General John Wickham, United States Army retired, was appointed by President Reagan as the 33rd United States Army Chief of Staff. Just prior to that position, he commanded all American and UN forces in Korea and wrote the book Korea on the Brink, about the challenges that he faced. By the way, that book, still in print, doing well. You can find it at Amazon for sure. He also served on the Secretary of Defense Policy Board. He was the vice chairman of the U.S.-China National Committee. He served two combat tours in Vietnam, was seriously wounded, in fact, was given the last rites of the church on the first tour, where he earned two silver stars, a bronze star for valor, and a Purple Heart. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in uniform. In 1987, he retired with 8 distinguished service medals. He is living with his lovely wife, Anne, in Oro Valley. General Wickham, I thought I would give you the full treatment today, the full bio. You deserve it.
You did, Bill. Thank you very much. I appreciate all of that, and I really appreciate your wonderful program, which brings objective, balanced views to the residents of southwestern United States.
Well, thank you very much, General. And, of course, as I recall, later this month, June is your birthday month. So are you going to notch up 92 at the end of the month?
No, it'd be 91, but heading into the 92. Well, as you know, the doctors say the most important thing you can do in your life is to pick your parents.
that's for sure, General Wickham. General Wickham, I want to get your thoughts on this dust-up around the ship, the John S. McCain. Mick Mulvaney, he's the President Trump's acting chief of staff. He's trying to play down the White House directive to hide a Navy destroyer named after Senator John McCain during the president's visit to the naval base in Japan last week. How did you feel about this whole thing?
Well, I think it's unfortunate. It's shameful because John McCain is one of our great statesmen and patriots in the country. And so we shouldn't do anything to try to disabuse his name or ships that might have his name on it. And so I think that's wrong. Now, that's the staff of Trump. They're trying to protect Trump. So we don't want to bring McCain's name up because it'll irritate the president. We don't want to irritate him. So they're doing things that Trump may not have approved of, didn't know about. So that's a reflection of the disorganization of his office. But I don't think Trump is doing it himself. I think his staff is doing it.
Now, this brings up an issue that I was not aware of. You have informed me of something very interesting in your background, and I'm always fascinated about the General Wickham background. I did not realize during your last tour in Vietnam that you negotiated the POW release, including the release of John McCain. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. I was a brigadier general, and my responsibilities in Saigon were to negotiate with the Viet Cong general and with the North Vietnamese general and to arrange for the release of several thousand prisoners, including all prisoners of war from in Hanoi. And we were meeting, and the North Vietnamese general and the Viet Cong general were furious, and they stood up from the meeting with an interpreter, and they said, "We cannot agree with anything," and they left the meeting. Huh. And here I am, responsible for doing this, and what am I going to do? How can I get this thing sorted out? So I did something that could have led to a court-martial against me. I called the Navy up. It was clearing Haiphong Harbor of mines that we had put in there, and I talked to the Navy up there, and I said, "Please stop clearing the mines immediately." And they did. They moved so fast, believe it or not, Bill, that they left jeeps with engines running on the wharfs as they went down to get on the ships. And they stopped clearing the mines immediately. And within a half an hour, the Viet Cong general and the North Vietnamese general came back to the table and they said, "If we have instructions from Hanoi, and we agree to everything on the prisoner release." And that included John McCain. So, remarkable little piece of history. But it takes courage to do those kinds of things and stepping out of here. And I've done other things like that.
Wow. May I ask, how old a man were you at that time?
I was in my late 40s, early 50s. I was a brigadier.
Brigadier general. Wow. You know, about the whole POW thing, General, do you think we left some folks behind?
We did.
Tell us a little bit about why you think that.
Well, because of the way they were handled, and we didn't know everything. For example, after all the prisoners had been released, the Viet Cong general, Trinh Van Trinh was his name, called me up through an interpreter. He was in Saigon, and he said, "General Wickham, we've released all the prisoners, but we have one left, Captain White, and he's in the Delta. And it's going to take us 10 days to arrange for a release. Do you suppose that you can arrange for me to fly to Hanoi? I have business to do up there." Well, he wanted to get out of Saigon because we were about to leave everybody, and he would have been at the mercy of the South Vietnamese. So I did arrange, and we did for him to go. And we did get Captain White out. Interesting about Trinh Van Trinh, he was actually posing as a Viet Cong general.
Really?
But he was really a North Vietnamese general. And when the North Vietnamese marched into Saigon in 1975, Trinh Van Trinh was at the head of the column, and a remarkable man. He wrote a memoir critical of the North Vietnamese leadership in the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Cambodia, and for which he was punished by the North Vietnamese. They took away his rank and his retirement, and he died a pauper with nothing. But he was true to himself and true to values. So as an illustration, communists can be good people. They're not all bad. And Trinh Van Trinh was a good man, and I did, as I said, negotiate with him and did have somewhat of a relationship. He's long gone now.
But it's very sad to think that we left some people behind, isn't it, General?
Yes, we did. And we still have missing in action, and that's what you're in part referring to.
Yes.
And it's a sad thing to go to ceremonies, and Ann and I have done that in Washington, gone to dinners where the missing in action families are there, and the relatives are wondering, well, what are we going to do? How can we get this relative of mine released? How can we find out where he is or she is? And we're doing better at it, but we still got a long way to go.
You know, General, a lot of people point to Tet, the Tet Offensive, as the turning point. I'm just curious, and I've never really addressed this with you, but while we're talking about the Vietnam War and Vietnam history, was that, in your opinion, the Tet Offensive of 1968, and then Walter Cronkite going on television and saying that the war is lost? Was that the turning point, or did it come later when we still could have helped the South Vietnamese regular forces? What's your take?
Well, it could be the latter point, but it was in some respects a turning point, because the Tet Offensive led to significant damage to the North Vietnamese leadership. And we were almost ourselves destroyed by the fighting that was going on inside the city of Saigon. You've seen pictures of police officers shooting people in the head.
Yeah.
That was going on. So it was, in some respects, a turning point, no doubt about it.
All right. When we continue, General, I want to talk about Veterans Affairs while we're talking about Vietnam, not only the Vietnam veterans, but all veterans. We're going to address that with General Wickham after we take our break. It is the Buckmaster Show. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. It's Buckmaster on a Monday on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you a business who wants to make a difference in children's education without it costing a single penny? IBE, a school tuition organization, wants you to know about the Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. Talk to your accountant today. For two decades, IBE has made it simple for corporate donors, working with over 290 schools. IBE awards 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Green Things. What a great location on 13 acres, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. On that 13-acre site, you will not only find great plants, everything you need for the garden and accessories, it's also the new home to Zocalo. For years, Zocalo was over by Country Club and Broadway and had a reputation of having high-quality merchandise, handmade merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Well, guess what? All of the Zocalo merchandise is now at Green Things. In fact, it's in five shops, which encompass the Zocalo Village. So really, Green Things is your destination, not only for great plants, but for great things for your home from Zocalo. Let's go back now to our conversation with General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the United States Army. General Wickham, we were talking about Vietnam in the first segment, and it's not just the Vietnam veterans, it's all veterans who may be facing a major change, correct, in their veterans affairs.
Amen, Bill, and it's wonderful you bring it up because I am deeply concerned about the direction we're going in with the veterans affairs. We're not walking the talk in terms of caring for veterans. You just finished Memorial Day where we honor the veterans. But having been, as I mentioned, wounded in Vietnam, and I got out of Walter Reed Hospital, I was obviously a wounded veteran in uniform in Grand Central Station, and a middle-aged woman strode up to me about inches away from my face and spit in my face.
Oh, my goodness.
And call me some of the foulest profane words that you can imagine. And other veterans had the same problem. And as a result, the Vietnam veterans, many of them refused to wear uniforms because of the attitude. Now, we're not doing that now, and I don't think we will. But what's going on now, and I think the American people need to know this, that the Congress and the Trump administration are cutting back on veterans' benefits. And I have seen this in my own personal income as they cut back. And why are they cutting back on veterans' benefits? Because they're using that money to pay for the wall with Mexico. And I think that's tragic and unjust to do this with veterans. And I think the American people need to know about it. And through their congressmen say, let's cut it out. That's not just and it's not fair. So we need to be walking the talk about caring for veterans.
And are we diverting funds or something from the Veterans Affairs to build the wall?
Yeah, we're not only diverting the veterans' funds, we're diverting funds from projects. For example, there are projects to improve the family quarters on air bases and naval bases and army bases that have been deteriorated, and money has been set aside to do that. Well, the Trump administration has directed that some of that money be diverted into the wall and spend it on the wall and not on housing or caring for families, as an illustration. So it's the things that are going on American people are not aware of. It's an injustice that I think we need to fix.
Well, a California judge already is, I think, charged that diversion policy is not legal. And it's not, General Wickham, like these military installations have all the state-of-the-art kind of housing. Some of this goes back to World War One.
That's right. Exactly right. And when I went to command the 101st Airborne Division, I discovered that none of the quarters had fire alarms in them.
Wow.
And I talked to our engineers. I said, let's get these fire alarms. He said, we don't have any money. And I said, you do now. I'm going to arrange it. And so we put them in there, and we had fires shortly thereafter and saved lives. So, yeah, we need to do this. And we've got a long way to go. The wars that we've been in the Middle East, Afghanistan, and Iraq have diverted money away from caring for our people and modernizing our military. And we need to be smart about this now. We're not being smart about it. We're doing things, for example, with North Korea. And there's another illustration with Iran. What's going on in Iran? We are creating the problem with Iran. Iran is not creating the problem. We are. And when we tore up the nuclear deal that Iran had negotiated, in which the United Nations inspectors is saying Iran is complying 110%, we need to, and that nuclear deal prevented Iran from having nuclear weapons for at least 15 years. And as a result, tearing it up is now leading to unrest in the Middle East. And we're moving military forces into the Gulf area, and that's going to, could lead to hostilities. And we're creating the problem. Why are we doing it? Because John Bolton, the very conservative advisor that Trump listens to, Bolton believes that what we need in the Middle East is regime change. Get rid of the regime in Tehran and get a new regime in. And other countries the same way. That's not smart, but that's what's going on.
General, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, on another topic, you are an honored graduate of the United States Military Academy. The recent graduation there was really a high point, wasn't it?
It was when we, this past June, when we had, just a few days ago, mm-hmm. when we had a graduation, and they graduated over 33 graduates were black women.
Great.
The largest number we've ever had before.
Wow.
It's an illustration of progress in the academies, all of them. And it's a tribute that women and black women are emerging as leaders. And so that was an unusual event.
What about all of your memorabilia? Is it going to the West Point Military Museum, General Wickham?
Some did. Most of it's gone to Carlisle, an Army museum up there, Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And they've got all my papers, and they've got uniforms and artifacts and things that I'm going to give more.
Did you want to go to the West Point in the military academy, even as a young boy?
Actually, Bill, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
When the time came to graduate from high school, there was no money in the family. My family had broken up when I was 11, divorced. My father was off in the war. And so what to do? Where to go to college? So West Point was nearby. I went to a football game up there, was impressed. So I applied and to the congressman who appointed four competing alternates. We had to take a day-long examinations, and I came out number two on the group and eventually got the appointment. So West Point changed my life completely.
How so? And I'm almost out of time. Bottom line, how? How did it change?
Good question, Bill. It gave me a sense of values, duty, honor, and country, and love of country, and association with people that are committed to that point of view. That was a profound influence in my life. And I saw the opportunity for equality when I was a company commander in Berlin. That's when President Truman broke up black units in the United States Army and said, let's integrate all these blacks into our regular units. And I was one of the first companies to get some blacks into my company.
Great.
Integrate them. And so that was a profound influence in my life. And West Point really gave me that opportunity.
General Wickham, always a pleasure. Really enjoyed today's session. Always enjoy the sessions. Today was seemed to be very special. I thought you did a fabulous job, and so honored to have you as a part of the program, sir.
Well, I'm honored to be on your program, Bill. You are a very valuable asset.
Thank you so much, General John Wickham, with us on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on behalf of Bob Dio. producer, engineer extraordinaire. Have a great afternoon.